So we're sitting under
not
a bow tree, but this tree, right? Or the birches, many beautiful birches around here. And who's to say? Actually, this is Gautama's teaching today. How many people have considered that he received a lot of teaching directly from the tree? He was under the bow tree. He received a lot of inspiration from that tree. And you may not think of this. And yet, the tree gave him understanding. And what does the tree represent? Well, the tree of life and also nature. And God's beautiful teaching within nature. Because all of the wisdom that we require of the universe is right here in what God planted on the earth in the original Garden of Eden. So when we are under our bow tree or under our room tree, we can discern new wisdom that can meet the challenges of today that you just expressed, even chemtrails and other things. So we have to go within to discern exactly what we can do to make that difference. And if we choose to be like Buddha, like Gautama, a Buddha, and have higher mindfulness, then we will have the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge, the truth, and the direct and specific solutions to these issues. Now, does it mean that each and every one of us is going to work on all of the things that were enumerated or shared today? No. Maybe not outwardly, yet we can take them all in inside of our heart and pray and meditate with Gautama. And then we receive the source of that illumination, and then we emanate the light to the people who may be more in an active mode of making those changes. In some cases, some of you may be very active in some of these areas. It may be your mission to go into the school system and to be a voice for truth and understanding and change. Maybe bring that song back to the country and start a campaign of writing letters and saying, we desire this song, it's part of our culture, there's nothing wrong with it. Or to say, we have to change the educational system so that people have all the skills and the opportunity to create new types of businesses and jobs for the youth, because the youth don't have the jobs. Many of you are in the business of selling essential oils through Young Living. And it's something that's fairly new in the last, 30 years, pretty much, right? And yet it's a new industry. And other businesses like it have sprung up even besides what Gary Young started, that are similar. And these are all wonderful. There are other businesses ready to be formed and created by entrepreneurs who meditate on society, see a need, and go within to determine how they can serve and meet a need of the people for health, for restoration of understanding, maybe for education. You know, Nicholas was sharing with Boyd and me at breakfast and Arletta about what he does. And it's almost like he's co-creating a beautiful new way of dealing with people that have issues from being unemployed or traumas that they've been through emotionally in their jobs, etc. Chronic fatigue syndrome. And he is developing through his own intuition and his mindfulness a way to meet these people where they are and bring them back to wholeness through certain techniques like yoga and meditation and being in nature or whatever he uses as these elements to help them. He's developed that, and he's changing the system by being a part of it and yet bringing his wisdom and all of his training and all of his spiritual discovery in this life. And he's bringing that to bear in his work. Now, many of you are probably already doing this too. Aita has a beautiful center where she brings conscious people to teach all kinds of courses in higher consciousness. And others of you are doing things that I don't even know what you're doing, and yet you know what you're doing, to bring divine mindfulness into play. And we have some young people here who are very wise already, and they understand the crisis of what's occurring. And they're seeking the wisdom from the masters, and they're seeking wisdom from inside of themselves and from each other to determine exactly what their mission is going to be and how they're going to change the world. So as we sit under a tree, any tree, and we ask the tree, ask nature, ask God for the solutions, those solutions will come. They'll come from within us. And we may develop our own Four Noble Truths for today that are specific for the needs of today. We may develop our own Eightfold Path that's specific for Sweden or for Scandinavia. We may develop the technology, the science, the industry, and the business opportunities to transform an entire culture and a civilization. If we are willing to take the risk, if we are willing to make the effort, if we are willing to stand firm in our resolve, like Gautama, until after 40 days under that tree, the answer came. And then he was able to express it and teach it and to share and transform an entire world as a result. Sometimes the crises in the world are what triggers the answers from within an individual like Gautama that can actually change the whole civilization. And so look at these crises that you just shared as points, like these blocks that we talked about the other day. Those blocks are often the very thing that are right before us as a burden that force us to change and transform ourselves. So that the problems in society sometimes create the beautiful individuals like Mohandas Gandhi, who changed India forever because he saw what was going on. And the problem of apartheid mandated that a soul like Nelson Mandela, Madiba, come to the earth to experience prison for 27 years or whatever it was, and then forgive his captors and transform that country. And then when apartheid was dissolved, he didn't condone violence in that nation. He supported forgiveness. And you know, when we traveled to South Africa and visited that island where they imprisoned him and others, you know who was taking us around, driving us and taking us to the prison? Former prisoners. Those who had been in those cells. They were the ones who were sharing the story because it was a catharsis for them. It was the healing for them to share the story, because now they're free. They're not there anymore. And so they can be a part of that mission of sharing with humanity, this is what we went through, and now we're free. Each of you has a key to some crisis upon earth from within your higher mind that you can access through stillness and through sitting under your tree of life to receive the solution. Each of you is key for the Great White Brotherhood, is key for Sweden and Scandinavia, and maybe for other peoples around the world too, that you choose to pray for, bless, and radiate light to. And in your vocation, whatever your chosen work is, the essence of your being can so be radiated forth in that field that you are literally transforming everyone who is experiencing a similar type of experience, like a job or whatever the industry or the work that you're doing. You're not only impacting the people in your immediate environment, you're impacting every other group of people that are doing similar work in your nation and actually throughout the world. Why? Because you are light bearers and you have chosen the Bodhisattva path, most of you, to serve until all life is free, to save sentient beings like Gautama Buddha. And when you are in your working world, your daily world experience, remember who you are. Remember that you are pure light, and that everything that you think, everything that you feel, everything that you're doing in that work is actually serving all of humanity. It's serving your brothers and sisters, maybe, you know, in Korea or Chile or Bosnia or Estonia, as well as all of Scandinavia. The problems of people are the problems of people, wherever they come from. So even though we have our cultural upbringing, and even though we have the norms that have been impressed upon us from our birth based on our culture, our heritage, our DNA, our parents, our grandparents, remember that ultimately we are all of one Father, Mother, God. The people are people, wherever they come from, and that there has to be a way of what Gautama says is divine integration through divine intervention, whereby people can immigrate into a country or emigrate to another country with the proper resources, instruction, education, and tools to feel that they can be who they are within a greater culture of humanity. And if you envision a perfect world, there really would be no countries per se. There will be cultural differences. There will be the beauty of the differentiation of all of our individual spirit sparks, the beauty of different types of people and civilizations all around the world. But we won't have division and strife. It will be amazing to feel like we are all one people, even though we hail from different parts of the globe. It's like when you go to Epcot Center in Disney World and you see all these cultures represented. There's respect. There is understanding. There is the cherishing of the validity of each one as important, as wonderful in their own specific cultural creativity, and yet each person can be what they desire to be based on what they feel in their heart is their truth, with respect for every other person, every other culture. So as a world, we have to find a way and a means to honor every culture, every people, every religion, without division, war, strife, violence. And so I heard the word peace. We have to have peace in this country and peace throughout the world. So how do we get to peace? Primarily pray, and through education and understanding. Because when you are culturally put in a position that your culture is better than another, or that somebody else is less than you, that creates division. When you are in a situation where you're told they are bad, they are evil, without even knowing the people or knowing them personally, that creates division. So we have to embrace people and seek to understand, and then there can be the right type of integration that doesn't decimate one culture in the process of incorporating other cultures into the society. It doesn't destroy the individuality of what is already there as a beautiful thing, because of some person's conception or a government telling people that this is the way it has to be. We have to find the way to universal love, brotherhood, sisterhood, and peace. And how do we find that? Through love. And through the proper means of education. It's not about political correctness that will get us there. It's about divine understanding that will get us there. Political correctness is still divisive. It's still duality and separating people. Often political correctness today results in this homogenization of peoples in a way that's not understanding of who they truly are. And it's also the breaking down of mores, values, and divine principles, the way that political correctness is operating. So we have to go beyond politics to what's called the unity field of beingness, where God is present in everything. The light represents the highest truth and the highest roadway or pathway to the solution. Now, I think it's time to go. But what Gautama would like is for you to just meditate for a moment, just for a moment, on how you will be the solution to the problems that you just talked about. Remember, we talked about yesterday, I put right on the board, what you react to in the world, in yourself and others and in the world, is the thing that is the block. Okay? So you all just, not all of you, but some of you just said things that you didn't like about what's happening in the world, right? Now you have the opportunity to be the solution to that thing that you observed that was imperfect. And you can discern from within your mind through stillness the solution to those things. And Gautama encourages you. It's more forceful than encourage. He's initiating you into the avenue of the initiatic path where you go within and feel the fire of God within your breast, within your being, within your soul, to actually receive the solution for many of these problems. It may be that you make a novena for the rest of your life to pray for this situation, and that's all you do. Or it may be that you actually are more active in some way to solve those crises, whatever they were. Some of them will require many people to solve, not one. And so collaboration and cooperation is key in that aspect. So we can grace the earth with this aspect of higher mindfulness by realizing that every problem has a divine solution. Every outer issue can be solved in some way by the magic and the alchemy of love. Every problem has a solution through the alchemy of love and higher mindfulness. So thank you, everyone.